High-ranking individuals in the Ukraine and the UK, international corporate companies, funds being directed to these individuals, child trafficking from the Ukraine to Moldova to the UK to be used in the sex trade and organ harvesting. Get ready for the expose of a century. Your evidence shows you, what your intelligence, your investigation shows you, is that children are basically being stolen from Ukraine by high-ranking individuals. They're being trafficked over to England by predominantly Albanian gangs, and individuals that are involved in this, UK and Ukraine-wise, have got filthy rich out of it during the process.
I didn't see the intelligence. I need to make that extremely clear. This was a fishing expedition. So it would mean that basically we are given all the names of what we were told that possibly were involved in this. We were not told the source. We were not told anything else. And our job was to put it forward to the National Crime Agency through relevant sources. And I agreed to the job because one of the reporters that I know was involved with the spook, which is the undercover operative that was in Ukraine, so lots of intelligence was coming his way. He was the link. He asked me not to put him out there, first of all. So I went in cold because I wasn't involved. If you know what I'm trying to say? The whole point of trying to stay alive in this game of being a journalist is some people have information, some people don't. I did not have the intelligence. So my job was just to put in the information and to see what happened when it went in and who would do what. So there is a global operation of freelance journalists are not on the books with anybody, and they don't get funded or paid, so it keeps them off book. Okay, and basically they get given information, quite a lot of information. Some people take it on, some people don't, because it's extremely dangerous. Okay, so certain journalists brought some information to me but wouldn't give me the intelligence behind it, and it was regards to an operation that was involving an agency in the UK, seemingly MI6, an operative from there, an operative from the Foreign Office, and also some paratroopers that were involved that worked in an organisation in the UK. However, when we looked into those people, first of all, we realised that 10 years ago, none of them had got any money at all. And then now they've all got organisations and quite high ranking within companies. They also have huge links to UK USAID and social services and websites out in Ukraine and the rebuild of Ukraine, because the organisation in the UK not only is a charity, but it's involved with further organisations that possibly one of the people on the list has contacts within NATO.
What sort of evidence do you have to back up all this?
The evidence is with the undercover operative, as I say, which I've put you on to. That is why how we all keep ourselves safe, because he is the person that when he decided to work undercover for many years, he got all this intelligence, which included social services, the police, certain people in MI6 and other organisations, Foreign Office. You've got to understand, he then had to get away because he knew his life was in danger, because one other person had already been blown up and his car gets blown up. Luckily for him, it's all online. By the way, you can see this with the Daily Mail. That operative has actually been blown up, but he was saved, thank God. It was only his arm and a small injury.
In Ukraine itself, and in the countries of the European Union, Ukrainian children are practically unprotected and regularly become victims of crimes of child trafficking, organ harvesting, pedophile networks and other sexual prostitution gangs and predators. From my sources in Ukraine, I have learned that there is a secret, powerful multi-level organization operating in the country that searches and selects children, prepares documents legalizing their transportation abroad. for example, birth certificate and passport, and then sends them to Great Britain, where they become victims of influential pedophiles. At the top of his powerful criminal organization of child trafficking is the security service of Ukraine. They directly organize all of the criminal schemes for the abduction and removal of Ukrainian children abroad. Borisov Sergei was once an employee of the SBU, worked in the investigative units of the main directorate of the SBU in Kyiv. In May 2020, he was detained for organizing a criminal group that was engaged in kidnapping entrepreneurs for ransom and seizing their property and financial assets. The group consisted of former and current police officers. The scandal surrounding the detention of werewolves in uniform was loud. The criminals were charged with more than 5 episodes of kidnappings, as well as other particularly dangerous crimes. This story has been on the front page of Ukrainian media for a long time. However, all the persons involved in the criminal case were released in 2021 under a subscription to restrict movement. And in August 2022, the information material about this criminal case was completely removed from the website of the National Police of Ukraine. It is from 2021 that Sergei Borisov gets hooked by high-ranking employees of the SBU, who offered him to supervise the children's team. Probably in exchange for his fact release from criminal liability. The case against Borisov was quickly hushed up. Borisov's job now is engaging in the selection of a suitable contingent in Kyiv, using his connections in the juvenile services of the police and government agencies. He is assisted in this by Savchuk Irina Viktorovna, an employee of the Sviatoshinsky Police Department of the Main Directorate of the National Police in Kyiv. Varich Yanina Leonidovna, an employee of the Juvenile Prevention Department of the Solominsky District Police Department of the Main Directorate of the National Police in Kyiv. Fishuk Marina Alexandrovna, deputy head of the service, head of the Department of the Service for Children and Family Affairs of the Solominsky District of the Kyiv City Administration. Kristofovich Orest Yaroslavovich worked in the Verkhovna Rada Committee of Family, Youth Policy, Sports and Tourism. Vitomsky Yuri Leonidovich, his daughter Anna Yurievna, as well as Ukrainian businessman Alexander Chepa and Vitaly Kovalenko. The juvenile services then prepare the necessary package of documents for the selected children to travel abroad under the pretext of evacuation from the combat zone, treatment in British clinics or study in educational institutions in Great Britain. After the necessary documents are completed, the children are sent abroad. At this stage, the key role in the criminal scheme for the removal of Ukrainian children is played by employees of the international and UK corporation Chemonix, which is a subcontractor of the American Agency for International Development, USAID.
How long do you actually think that this child trafficking of Ukrainian children into UK has been going on? What does your information intelligence show?
I would say that the last 20 years.
So it's not since this war started, this proxy war started?
No. But they've really gone for it at the moment, because what they know is that it's coming to the end of their time. Their regime is ending. So what they're doing is they're trying to, just like the laundering's going on.
When you receive this information intelligence from your contact, it's a very big burden and a very big responsibility. So what did you do with it from there?
The first thing I did was contact a couple of friends of mine that I know of that work very closely with the National Crime Agency. And I said to them, I sat in the back of one of the cars and I said, I've been given this information. I haven't got the evidence behind it. I said, I've just been given the names, but I do know the source. I said, and this source is very, very good. He's always 100% on. And he said to me, let me see the list. And I showed him. And when he got down to the name of Tom Matlock, which is MI6, he actually didn't breathe out. Which, if anybody's listening to this recording understands that, they know what that is, because...
Can you elaborate on who Tom Matlock is?
Tom Matlock is supposedly worked at MI6, but doesn't work there anymore, which I have lots of friends in lots of areas, and I've never known anybody work for an agency that all of a sudden doesn't work for an agency. So, and his wife works for the Foreign Office. So there's many other names on the list, but what I will tell you is there's a certain... organisation that's involved in it. Seemingly, I have to say, we have undercover operatives in this country and Europe and America that are doing above and beyond and trying to protect what is right and what was good about what we built up in the beginning, which was here, supposedly, to protect the people and protect the country and protect our way of life. And that's not happening. What's happening is we've got greedy people, greedy MPs, yeah? Greedy people in the police force, without a doubt, greedy people in the NCA and that are involved in drug cartels and other things. That's all I can say at this moment.
The following are directly involved in this scheme from Great Britain. Martin King, former serviceman of the British Airborne Forces, employee of various private military companies. Since January 2022, Director of Regional Security for Chemonix in Eastern Europe. Personally manages shadow projects to remove children from Ukraine and deliver them to Great Britain. Matthew Waterfield, former employee of a number of UN missions in Africa and Asia. Since June 2022, head of the Chemonix Group in the International Fund, Partnership Fund for a Resilient Ukraine. Mark Watson, former serviceman of the British Airborne Forces, former employee of the OSCE mission in Ukraine and USAID employee, worked in various consulting companies in the field of security. He is in constant contact with Sergei Borisov. For the direct transportation of children from Ukraine to the UK, employees of the British private military company Acadian are involved, including Simon Roughton, Christopher Gibson, Rob Parkinson, and Tom Matlock, formerly MI6, and his wife Kate English, who is also involved in this criminal scheme. Previously, English worked as the Secretariat of the Foreign Secretary of Great Britain in the diplomatic missions of the United Kingdom in Sudan and South Korea. She worked directly from the Embassy of the United Kingdom in Ukraine. Miss English coordinates operations to select children, remove them from their families and transport them to the UK. Due to the fact that the customers of children in the UK are representatives of the elite, the criminal group operates in compliance with all conspiracy and without question. Sergei Borisov receive and clarify orders, meet with representatives of customers. He systematically travels to the UK to deal directly with buyers. This concerns the export of children to the UK. However, I will tell you in general what other schemes are used to export children from the country. In addition, the sale of babies in Ukraine is also organized under the guise of surrogacy. Kyiv has organized a black market for the export of babies to almost all Western countries, where this procedure is prohibited. The main supplier is the infamous Biotechcom company, which was regularly accused of selling children. However, all open criminal cases against it were closed at the request of the authorities. It is hard to believe, but the foundation of Yelena Zelensky, the wife of Volodymyr Zelensky, is also involved in the scheme to export children from Ukraine. In addition, the Safe Ukrainian Foundation is actively involved in child trafficking. This foundation is headed by Mykola Kuleba, who until 2021 was the Commissioner for Children's Rights under the President of Ukraine. The activities of these funds are provided by the Deputy Head of the President's Office, Irina Vereshchuk. The Polish organization Sunflowers is engaged in the organization of the transportation of children from Ukraine to Poland. The organization is headed by Polish citizen Ewa Holmanska, the wife of former president of the International Criminal Court, Piotr Hofmanski. In the UK, we are investigating into Save the Children. As we have knowledge, they cooperate with this organization, and the structure is based in London. We also have information that the White Angels and Phoenix organizations are directly involved in the removal of children from families in eastern Ukraine. British Admiral Antony Radakin, Zelensky's NATO advisor, was involved in their creation.
So once you had all this intelligence and information from your contact, can you walk us through which agencies you took it to and what happened?
Basically, I contacted a friend of mine through the NCA, and he spoke to me on the phone, and I said to him, I was really heavily concerned with not putting this in through the front door because of the names on the list. And he said, leave it with me. He then contacted me back and said, somebody's going to come and see you. They're going to want you to write something in writing and sign to say that you've got this information, and they're going to want to know who's behind you, and then they're going to want to interview them. Nothing ever happened. Nothing. I then contacted my friend again, to which he said, very simply, I don't know what's going on here, why they're not contacting you. So he contacted the person again. The person did call me this time and said to me that they would be in touch. It was literally a 2-minute conversation, they'll be in touch. They never got in touch. So then I went through another source of mine that works for one of the big three. He spoke to somebody through the correct protocols, and they suggested that I went directly to the police. And he said, I am not sure if that's the right thing to do, because I think she's quite fearful for her life because of the names on the list, even though she's not got the evidence. To which I then put it through to the Gloucestershire police, because they have an undercover reporting team for trafficking. That team kept the intelligence for 2 weeks, and I was a bit sneaky. I set up a burner email account, but I included another email in it so I knew it had hit them. They'd got it. They called me 2 weeks later, and the conversation went like this. Are you Mandy Smith? Yes, I am. You've sent us this information. How did you get my details? And I said, sorry, how did I get your details? Well, we want to know who you're speaking to. Have you got my details? And I said, well, shouldn't you be more saying, thank you for sending me such information. Is it verified? And how did you get such information of who's on this list? Because there's an MI6 operative's name on there. To which she said, are you suffering from mental health issues? And I said, why would you say that? Well, I'm just wondering if you are. And I said, no. I said, I work in an area where I pass information through to organisations like yourself when it could be a national security issue, which is obviously the safety of our country. So that's what I thought I was going to be doing. And I said, is this on the record that you think I've got mental health issues? And he said, there's nothing on the record. I put the phone down on me. Now, I have that name of that person.
Excellent. And we will look into that. If you were hit by that blank wall, then what happened next?
I don't like bullies, and I don't like thieves and liars. And I think our country needs to get more people are less spineless, worrying about themselves and doing something for the greater good. So I contacted MI5.
Yeah. Then what happened?
They called me back. I recorded the conversation, and the gentleman's name was James. And he said, look, you do know this is not really my department. He said, this is not even our issue here. And I said, no. I said, but if you understood that the names on the list were from the other organisation of the big three, you can see that we've got an issue. And he said, what do you think the issue is? And I said, well, this isn't the first time I've dealt with people that, let's say I deal with MPs as well. We know that there's a leak in the National Crime Agency. And whilst it was set up originally to do good, I believe that what's happening is it's used for an early warning system so that when somebody phones and says, we know there's drugs dropping on, let's say, the Welsh coast, then drugs are moved and they don't come in off the Welsh coast. They come in off a different coastline. Or let's say we phone up and say, we know we've got an organised criminal that's X, Y, Z and doing such and such. They literally, the information's not filtering through to the right departments. But I suppose you've got to look at who's at the top, because let's be fair, they keep retiring people that the heat gets on them, and then all of a sudden somebody else gets put in place. But they're all cut from the same cloth.
As you understand, this is a very close topic. Under the quest of providing a better life, children end up abroad in the hands of criminals and rapists. And of course, those who engage in such activities try not to leave traces, including documentary ones. I have at my disposal a report prepared in December 2023 by SBU analysts on the task of the Ukrainian presidential administration regarding the fate of orphans. Thus, as of August 2023, 63,442 status children, orphans and children deprived of parent care were registered with state bodies of Ukraine. Of these, 2,461 were in territories not controlled by Kyiv. 1,047 were unknown whereabouts. 274 children were wanted within the framework of open criminal cases. And 9,033 were evacuated abroad. Almost nothing is known about their fate.
So I understand at the time you went to an individual that's quite close to Urban Scoop, a Mr. Andrew Bridgen. So can you walk us through what actually happened there?
I have worked in an area with other journalists for a long time, years, knowing that this country was being turned over, and I realised that there's only going to be a certain amount of people, good men I call them, or good women, that are willing to go the extra mile. And I phoned up Andrew Bridgen over something, and to do with similar things, and this was way back. And he was in Washington DC at the time, and he still talked to me on the phone. It was the middle of the night for him. And I just thought, what a really great guy. So when I couldn't get any of this information sorted, I ended up going to him. And I went to him and said, look, you know, I've got a problem here. I've put this in. It's not getting anywhere. And as a citizen, I actually thought I was doing the right thing. I said, but it would seem that I'm following protocols of what you should do, which are showing a trail of going through the NCA. I also would like to say that I spoke to somebody that had very, very high connections within the Privy Council myself. Nobody else introduced me to him. I spoke to him in Belgravia myself. And by the end of the meeting, he left, but nothing was ever done. And I know he was very high up. So what I'm saying is Andrew was, I would call it my last bastion. You know what I'm saying? There was nowhere else to go, and I was determined I wasn't going to leave this.
I think from my first election in 2010, I got a reputation for looking at issues that other MPs didn't want to. I was the MP who exposed the Post Office Horizon scandal, which was a massive cover-up. I'd exposed the modern slavery in the fast fashion industry in Leicester, with thousands of people being paid a fraction of the living wage. And, of course, I'd spoken out in 2022 to stop the government from authorising the experimental COVID-19 vaccines for small children. And so a lot of people contact me with issues that they've taken to their own MP that they feel their own MP is not willing to raise or even look at in some cases. And that's the situation I found myself in 2023. I was approached by some people who claimed they'd got evidence, names, hard evidence of child trafficking from the Ukraine into the UK. We arranged a meeting, they showed me the evidence, and they told me that they'd taken this evidence, which was quite comprehensive. It had got lists of names of people involved. They claimed that it was been supplied by intelligence officers working in Ukraine, Ukrainian intelligence officers. They claimed that there were two officers independent of each other which had supplied and verified the data. So a list of names from the Ukraine side to the UK side, including the foot soldiers on the ground that were actually doing the work in the UK, which a large number of them were Albanians, where the children's paperwork was being processed. And they claimed that they'd taken it to various agencies to try and get an investigation going in the UK.
Before we go into the details of the individuals that were involved, I'd like you to break it down to the audience what crimes are actually happening to these children, where, when and how.
Well, we're talking about children being abducted or taken from the Ukraine under false pretenses. They may have been abducted, or they may have thought they were going to be adopted or going to school in the UK for protection during the war. But in fact, they were being handed over to, I believe, paedophiles or people who would use them in modern slavery, effectively. Horrendous crimes, the worst crimes in the world, perpetrated against some of the most vulnerable people in the world, children in a war zone. And, you know, obviously, I'm not going to sit back and do nothing. When I'm told that this information has already been passed to Gloucestershire Police, and been ignored, and nothing's been done. And that struck a chord with me, because I've passed information during my parliamentary career relating to the abuse of children by senior figures to the National Crime Agency. And I've met in the past with a former head of the National Crime Agency, Lynn Owens, in their premises on the south bank of the river, and been assured that everything was going to be dealt with, making, you know, serious allegations of paedophilia against senior figures in politics and in the police. And indeed, I've been told that, you know, this is the last piece of the jigsaw, Mr. Bridgen. This explains everything. But nothing ever happened. And I have very, very strong concerns that information is being passed to the National Crime Agency as the ultimate investigative body in the UK, and it's all being suppressed. So it didn't surprise me, and when I was told that all the phone calls with these agencies trying to complain and pass over this important evidence for investigation were actually recorded, so there was proof, a paper trail or a audio trail of what these people had tried to do with this important evidence, and no one was taking it seriously. So clearly, another way of doing it is to get that information to senior politicians. And that's what I endeavoured to do in the autumn of 2023. So I collated the evidence, put in a covering letter, pointing out all the agencies that this had already been to and it had not been investigated. And I sent copies to Penny Mordaunt, who at the time was the leader of the House, in the Conservative Party, which I was a member of at the time, and also to Alex Chalke, who was the Lord Chancellor in charge of the judiciary. I didn't get a response back immediately. I think it was probably about 6 weeks later, and the response was completely inadequate. It was, if you believe a crime has been committed, Mr. Bridgen, then go to the police. Well, I'd already pointed out that this evidence had been given to the police, security services, and nothing had been done with it. When you see the names on the top of, we believe, the pyramid, who are coordinating this crime, you can see why there's no appetite from the establishment to investigate.
Any other incidents that you can talk to us about regarding these high-ranking individuals, Ukraine and UK side?
There is individuals that we know through various sources that actually have gone missing. That's all I can say to you.
Is there any other stories about any other individuals that have been involved in this child trafficking that you'd like to tell us about?
There's certain things I can say to you, and obviously certain things we can't, because there's still undercover operatives out in Ukraine. There is also operatives in Moldova and other areas. But what I will say to you, these people are extremely, extremely brave for what they're doing. And one particular person got blown up with a family member.
What happened there?
In St. Petersburg, they were in a coffee shop and a family member had gone to get a car. But irrelevantly to that, what they're investigating, they got blown up. And they got followed for a long time, for 6 to 8 months, by an undercover operative that was from France, actually.
Well, you're talking about a coordinated effort by Ukrainian secret services to collect, abduct children, often of Russian heritage from the Donbass area, where the conflict was, and to hand them over to, I believe, people linked to agencies in the UK. So it's basically a secret services in Ukraine to a secret services in the UK operation.
Why do you believe they're doing this?
I think there's a lot of money in it. I think, you know, they can only sell drugs once. We're now hearing over the last few years that there's more money in child trafficking than there is in drugs. They can sell they only sell the drugs once. They can sell the child dozens of times a day, as abhorrent as all that is. There's a lot of money in it. And also, I think that paedophilia, from my experience and my investigations while I was an MP and since, it's endemic in the UK. There's no appetite to investigate child abuse, as we know, whether that's the Muslim rape gangs or trafficking children in from foreign countries for the paedophiles. And also, it's the ultimate compromat. Once you're involved in any of that, either the trafficking and the money or the use and abuse of those children, once you're in that club, there is no way out. They can be assured that you can be controlled, and they can be assured, if you're in their club, that's absolute loyalty.
And what sort of level are the senior individuals we're talking about, UK side?
We're talking about people who are linked into three-letter agencies in the UK, and also people who are linked into the Foreign Office and very close to the government.
Wow.
Too close for comfort. It appears to be very well established. And there was a company that was in the evidence that was thought to be at the very centre of this trafficking operation from Ukraine to the UK. And that company is called Canomics.
Can you elaborate more on who Canomics are?
Well, Canomics are a company, and they're funded actually by USAID. They're in 27 countries around the world. They've had their funding cut off under President Donald Trump, quite rightly too. They were the biggest recipient of USAID money I could find from the data I've seen from America. One of their payments was for $6 billion in one hit. So paid an awful lot of money by USAID, which Donald Trump has quite rightly shut down. USAID, a company that's been funding 7,000 journalists around the world, funding the BBC, huge influence, and I think a malign influence, and they are the biggest funders of Canomics. And you've got this company, which we believe is linked to trafficking from the Ukraine, possibly receiving monies, which it will put down as donations, to help these poor children in need in Ukraine. What's to say those aren't the payments for the children?
In September last year, there's a journalist, obviously, Natalia Urban, who is a well-known journalist that works, she's Brazilian, but she also was extremely well-known with good MPs within Parliament to do a lot of good work. her job was helping within charities that where you get women that have been sex trafficked, the very vulnerable. She helped out a lot of charities to retrain them so they became journalists. So she gave them a cause, you know, a new life. And what I would say is there's no proof on this at the moment, but one of the journalists we work with has already written to Scotland and asked, how did she commit suicide off the bridge that she supposedly fell off? Because she was she also was known to be investigating trafficking organisations as well as other work she investigates. She was an extremely bright journalist. And seemingly before she went off the bridge, she supposedly put on Instagram and other social media that she'd been struggling. Well, that's one girl that doesn't struggle. She had the heart of a lion. So what I would say to you, and again, I can't prove this, that case is still open. So the cameras on that bridge, were they on or were they off? You've got to ask yourself what's happened with those cameras and why have you not responded to journalists that are writing to you to ask, are the cameras on, were they on, or has anyone checked the footage over?
From an outsider looking in, you know, the correlation of the events occurring with all these individuals that are trying to highlight these crimes, it's beyond suspicious. You know, it seems like a proactive attempt to really do silence people that are trying to bring this international travesty to the masses.
Well, I think the thing is, Jeremy Corbyn actually asked for a public inquiry into Natalie's death. Okay, and Brazilian president and many other people as well. So yeah, let's get a public inquiry for somebody like Jeremy Corbyn to step out and put over on his social media, we want an investigation into Natalie's death. That speaks volumes, because really they know what's going on. But we're working against a war against the media, aren't we? We know this. Yeah. You know, I think the BBC received 400 million, didn't they, from UK-US aid in 2024. So what's that funding for? Is it like hush money?
I went public with this information back in June 24. I did an interview with the excellent Resistance GB, which got quite a few views at the time, but was picked up later by Alex Jones when all this started to come out about Chemonics, USAID, the child abuse around the world and the child trafficking. What I'll tell you is that 4 weeks after I went public with that, I was picked up by Leicestershire Police and accused myself of paedophilia. And I was investigated for 4.5 months, completely spuriously, with weird claims that they could easily have discounted. The evidence all relied about me being a member of the Freemasons.
Were you ever a member of the Freemasons?
They could have checked that out. No, I've never been a member of the Freemasons, and I've never been to a Freemasons lodge meeting.
And what did actually happen to the charge and evidence?
It was all dropped, yeah. But it was dropped due to evidential problems. Yes, yeah. The problems were there was no evidence.
There was no crime, yeah.
There was no evidence.
You needed crime, evidence.
And that was, I can't help but believe, that was just to put the frighteners on me for venturing into areas that they didn't want me to go, which was exposing the child trafficking.
Vasily got his vehicle blown up. He decided the best thing he could do was obviously work with Putin to try and get this intelligence out, because there was no way it was going to come out from Britain, as you can see, or anywhere else. America certainly weren't putting it out. Obviously, Trump is now, and Ukraine were very much hiding it. So All I actually can say to you on this is there's two operatives that have been blown up, one deceased, the other one still alive, and there's other operatives that are still working undercover. Wow. So, and we lost two undercover journalists from the UK. We don't actually know what's happened to them.
They just completely disappeared.
What we do is, I mean, we can talk about this now because it's actually gone, but we give codes, and each day we get a coded burner phone text just with a code on it, so we know those journalists are safe. That guy's just gone to ground, this particular journalist, and he was working in the UK.
The whole thing is largely funded by USAID money. That's authorised by the then Biden regime, obviously shut down by Trump when he got into office. Yes, there are names linked to Chemonics in the UK.
Such as?
One individual that's prominently named is a man called Tom Matlock. He's very, very high up in MI6. And his wife, Kate English, who is very high up in the civil service.
What are their positions in MI6 and the civil service?
We're talking about at the top of MI6, very near the top. And Kate English was working in the Foreign Office for 5 years as the PA to the Permanent Secretary. That's the highest ranking civil servant in that department.
If you look on the internet, look at President Trump, for instance, what he makes it very clear about, which is if you put the facts out there, you will see how people operate and they'll hang themselves by their own demise. Well, we put the facts out there because he is the only person out there from over there doing good, because the Biden administration have been behind this from the beginning.
In what way were they related to all this?
Well, UK-US aid, the funding. You know, when you start to look into these things, again, there's lots of journalists on Telegram talking about this. Well, I mean, people can research themselves. It's not actually hidden. You're going to see what the funding, rebuild costs, for instance, that, you know, anything that's going on, they bomb a country and then they rebuild the country, yeah? And not only that, they're also targeting the individuals for organ harvesting, which is happening. And we also have evidence of Putin removing children from Ukraine, and The Hague have gone up against him against war crimes for taking those children away, when he's actually replaced 4,000 children back with their parents after the mercs and the undercover operatives have taken them away.
Is there any other individuals who you could give us some information on?
Well, obviously, there's the individual who checked out my contacts, social media profile and LinkedIn from Chemonix itself 2 days after the evidence was given over to the agencies, which, you know, it's quite a coincidence, isn't it, that 2 days after and you've never had any contact with Chemonix directly, that someone that you've named as a company you've named as being linked to child trafficking in the UK, given the evidence to the agencies, that one of their employees would then start checking out your LinkedIn profile.
Right. And you know what, Mr. Bridgen, I mean, you've got a lot of history being an MP for such a number of years, so you've been in and out the halls of Westminster. How dangerous are these individuals?
They're very dangerous.
I mean, you've been around that whole society, you know what I mean? It's very alien.
Well, as long as you keep your mouth shut and turn a blind eye, they're not dangerous at all, are they? The only problem is when you don't. But that, you know, to turn a blind eye to child trafficking and exploitation, it's the worst thing in the world. It's evil, it's wrong, it's going on worldwide, and it's got to stop. And it's certainly got to stop between the Ukraine and the UK.
What do you want to see to happen from now with all this?
Well, in my opinion, we've got to stop this trafficking. We've got to stop what's going on. How we do that is we have to focus on looking at the people that actually are speaking out about this and back them up. Because we need to investigate the services, because if they aren't going to clean their own yards up, we've got to push them by doing it, by gaining a public inquiry. This is the only way. And as what they're doing to Andrew Bridgen is they're trying to take him out of the mix with everything, because of what he obviously came out with, the post office scandal, vaccine harm, obviously child trafficking. It stands to reason that while all these people are trying to think that reform and everybody else is saving the day, what we need to do is save the day by backing the real people that need to be funded to actually do the job correctly in the UK. And he's the only man for the job. That's just the way it is.
It's all about the children, isn't it? I stood up in Parliament in December 2022 when the government were being petitioned by the Medicines and Healthcare Product Regulatory Agency to authorise the experimental jabs for children under 5, down to 6 months of age. There's no healthy child of that age that's died of COVID-19. We already knew at least 1 in 800 of them would die or have a life-changing injury from the vaccines. I couldn't stand by and let that happen. I can't stand by and see children trafficked to be abused in the UK from the Ukraine or anywhere else. But what we're dealing with, I think, is so massive. And you can't ask the state to investigate the state. I've found that out so many times. That's when the doors are slammed on you. Is when you're actually asking an agency of the state to investigate something that the state's involved in. And the state's fingerprints, I'm afraid, are all over this. And if you want to find out if someone's involved or not, you ask them to help you. And if they won't help you, You can come to your own conclusions, can't you?
The implication of these sort of horrendous crimes reach far and wide. They're deeply embedded within our community and, from what you've witnessed today, within our government at the highest of levels. You've witnessed a statement from our whistleblower in the UK. We've showed you the evidence from our guy on the ground in Russia, and we've showed you the lengths and breadth Mr. Bridgen has gone to try and expose this international travesty. My name's Gurmit Singh, and I hope you enjoyed this documentary. Please can I urge you to show your support for our work now and into the future by visiting urbanscoop.news/support-us. Any contributions, big or small, go a long way in our continued work.